So, Nus, where are you in Spain?
In Sabadell, it's close to Barcelona.
Barcelona is so interesting to me because it's the headquarters of the municipalist movement with progressive environmental, all kinds of measures. What's the reality? Is it as good as it sounds in articles about Barcelona?
In terms of what to leave, business,
In
progressive thinking.
progressive thinking, like neighborhoods without a lot of vehicle traffic, green spaces, and that kind of thing.
Well, now because of COVID, it's true that the City Hall of Barcelona has closed some lanes for vehicles, and now they are used more for pedestrians and for also in front of schools or kindergartens, like closing also so that kids can go and have class outside or play and so on. So, yeah, so I mean, inside, if we look at the whole of Spain, Barcelona and the Catalonia region is normally a little bit more forward thinking and or trying to do things differently or more open to do so. But like in many places, there is still a lot of room for improvement.
There's still a lot
But
of what? Pardon? I didn't hear.
room for improvement. I mean, we can always do better, no? But yeah, we try.
Well, what are some of the most progressive accomplishments in Barcelona? And is the mayor is still a woman whose name I've forgotten?
Yes, Ada Colau. Yeah,
Yeah.
Ada Colau. Well, I would say that at least in terms of, okay, we can look now at the economic side, social, environmental. So in terms of the economic side, there has been more investment from the regional government and also from the city hall to help businesses become digitalized and have the website and the means to improve some tasks that were more manually done and more routinary or more, repetitive to have them done by technology. So there has been a budget for it and also some programs to help people get newer skills in this direction, people who maybe now have been unemployed, and also for younger generations that this kind of skills, they are little bit more every time more taught at universities, but some of them are not. So there has been also some programs in this line. And then for helping the aspect of giving money or the government paying part of the salary of the businesses that are now in a standby or that they are closed, this comes more from the EU budget that has been distributed among countries, and then the central government distributes that among the state. We call it autonomous communities in a state. So this comes more from the top down. But bottom up, yes, the Barcelona City Hall and the regional government have implemented more education training possibilities in this line. For the environment, in Barcelona, they implemented this legislation that vehicles that have been licensed after the 2000, they cannot enter the city. They give them a label if there's a range, if you are more eco-friendly or less, and if you are below a certain bar, you cannot circulate in the city, so because of the pollution, because air pollution, they want to diminish that. So they and I don't know which from where this money came from, but they gave some incentives for people to get a new vehicle more in that is less polluting. And for social, it's true that especially in Barcelona, Catalonia, we call it there is a concept at the EU level. They call it more social enterprise or social business, but in Catalonia there is a concept that is called social and collaborative economy,
Social and no, collaborative?
No, but this from the government, they call it economia social y solidaria. So social and solidarity economy. So solidarity, so more like giving and social. Not the collaborative is something else that is more about platforms online, but the social and solidarity economy, because the regional government that we have until now, because in February there are new elections, it was more left-wing, and they had money that was coming because before the EU, now the EU is still committed to social businesses, but they want to promote more the environmental and the digital transformation. But until recently, they had a bigger funding for social enterprises, and the regional government of Catalonia wanted to promote more the network and the collaboration, not just of having single businesses, social enterprises, or solidarity enterprises, but to develop more the network and kind of a market between them.
So what's an example of a solidarity business? Is it like I'm starting an organic farm in an abandoned lot in the city, something like that?
Okay, so the idea, so especially there are businesses that the main goal is connected to human beings, to values, rights of especially some immigrants or more poor people or people that are disabled and so on, and that the aim is to help them become part of society, if it's more immigrant or if it's more mental or disabled in some ways also. To for instance, we have a typical, a very common, it's been operating for a long time, there is a business that does yogurt, ice creams, jam, marmalade, and the only people that they hire is people with some mental disabilities, because the founder was a psychiatrist and so on, and the goal is not to make money, it's to give them an employment, to have a social, to have a gathering room, like a network, like that they feel empowered, that they contribute to society, they have their own salary, their own community, they feel... So we have some restaurants in Barcelona that they hire immigrants and they help them with the paperwork and finding housing. And once they have the more or less skills developed, then they can enter to other types of restaurants. Another of immigrants for food, catering, that they create food from different regions and ethnicities, from different countries, and they have a catering that is more like, kind of like tasting flavors from different regions, and they connect them with these restaurants that are also more, there is a network, no, that they deliver these caterings to organizations or events of organizations related to social and solidarity economy. And it's connected in terms of the legal entities. They try to connect it more with a cooperative instead of an SL, a social limited corporation, or instead of the typical legal format, they try to promote more the cooperative legal arrangement. And so the solidarity aspect, I guess that here there could be some of them that they may have an aspect that they don't charge anything. I don't know that much. But it's in a way, it's not exactly what the EU understands for social businesses, because for the EU, the social businesses, the main goal is, or it's the aspect of making profit is still quite important or highlighted. In this Catalan region, what they understand for social solidarity, there can be for profit aspects, but it's not, they put more emphasis on the social aspect.
The Podemos party, is that how you pronounce it, became active after the occupation of the squares in Madrid and Barcelona. And they had some victories. Are they still an important player in progressive politics, Podemos?
Podemos. At the Spanish level, yes. Yes, even though, I mean, it's necessary that they are there, but since they are not the main force, now it's more the Socialist Party, you know, that has the major contribution. They help to balance the situation. In the Catalonia region, the influence is not as much because there are other smaller groups from the left side, the ones that are now in power, that they well have more decision-making power. But yeah, it's definitely it has created a swing in that direction. It's important that they are there. But at the same time, there was this new super right party that came out, or that it has gained a lot of power, whether it's through fake news or not, or bringing back the dictatorship flavor and blah, 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 that it's kind of like, wow, so it's good that Podemos is there and the socialists are there, because it has, you know, in a way, polarized a little bit more.
What's the name of that conservative party?
Vox, with V, Vox.
When you
They
hear
are
it.
connected with Trump. They are connected with Donald Trump. The way that they did the marketing, like the way of conveying their points and the propaganda and the use of social media, they say that they hire the same agency that Donald Trump used. Or at least that's what I heard. That they
Well,
use similar way of getting people on their side.
wow. Well, I'm so glad he got defeated because that kind of undercuts their message.
Yes, but let's see. I mean, he's not someone who throws the towel that easily. So we'll see.
When you hear young people's issues, like teenagers, college students, recent graduates, is unemployment the main thing on their mind, or what do you hear as young people's political issues?
Yeah, unemployment is a very big issue now in Spain. Unemployment, and that they are not able to leave their parents' home. And now with COVID and everybody there 24/7, I mentor some students and they were like, you know, they cannot go out and socialize and vent a little bit with their peers and so on. And they see every time more, because real estate, like, now or recently, also the City Hall of Barcelona, was the City Hall or at the regional level? At the regional level, they put like a kind of cap. Or they were like, okay, the maximum price that you can charge for rent for a square meter in this region or in the region, it cannot be higher than this. But still, they cannot leave. I mean, if they leave, they have to just rent one room. If they can. So that's gonna affect relationships. Being able to go, even if it's, yeah, the two people, even two people, or create a household, or who knows. So they foresee, actually, I was hearing this maybe yesterday, that the studies say that this, well, maybe even my generation, next generation, they are gonna live off the wealth of their parents, if the parents have any wealth or any savings or anything.
Which in a way keeps them silent because they can't be too radical if they have to have their parents get along with their parents in the house, you know?
Yeah, or they have to learn how to, you know, communicate and discuss different points of view or ways of doing, if they feel comfortable, because that's normally adolescents or early 20s, depends on the relationship with your parents, but if you feel that they don't understand you, you tend to close off. So that depends on how they feel, and
So you got your PhD in child development, is that correct, in the States?
No, this was Jackie.
So were you in psychology?
Business and economics.
Ah, okay. And what are you doing with that degree now?
Professor. I teach and do research. The normal thing. But that's a normal thing at the university level. And now, so I did a little bit of the social solidarity economy, a little bit of research on that, extending my understanding on that. But from my thesis, from my dissertation, and my interest in who we are and our evolution, and, you know, more inner aspects of life, now that I need to choose a little bit more my line of research and also possible courses more of, you know, that I like to teach, not just at the university environment, but also outside. I want to do more, expand more on the line of how do we learn, okay, the way of that we acquire, learn different skills, different capabilities, but especially capabilities in the area of, well, there are two dimensions. At the individual dimension of how we get to know ourselves better, how we feel, how we think, and how to develop more awareness and more consciousness of who we are, capabilities in this line. Then capabilities in the area of relationships. For me, it's more at the workplace, but you can translate that also with family or friends, but for me, it's more at the workplace level. And then also in the line of creativity and innovation, because with technology and big data and so on, what it's going to distinguish us more from machines and technologies, more this humane aspect, no, and creativity and innovative and new ways of doing, and also the relationships, because when you need to sign a deal with another business or go to China and make a possible contract or something, this is a machine, no, it's so personal, and so how you feel and how you perceive the other individual and blah, blah, blah. So these capabilities that are more unique of us, I would like to explore them more at the research level and then workshops or courses more in this aspect. But ultimately, as you know, it's all about how you relate with yourself, know, how you perceive yourself, your own self-consciousness and awareness, and then by developing this, you can translate that to relationships with others and be more creative and more innovative. So I want to go a little bit in this line. I know that the university puts some limitations or you need to follow for research very strict methodology, blah, 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 and the university setting is also, you know, you can do so much. So I foresee having workshops or courses outside also, outside this framework, to have more freedom of just sharing from another end, or kind of,
How did the university system compare from what you've experienced in Spain and in the U.S.? Were the systems similar or different?
Okay, there has been a big, well, substantial difference since when I went to college in Barcelona. And now, me being professor on the other side in Barcelona. When I was undergrad, everything was more memorizing and not that much creativity or discussion or way more unidirectional, more multiple choice tests, memorizing, blah, blah. Now, it's still, the dominance is still that way, but it's true that there is more discussion, more interaction with among students and between students and professors, more applied, like you have cases, business cases, or you have a real representative of a business and they present a challenge and you integrate more continuous evaluation, not just memorizing at the end. So there has been a change in that direction. There is still improvement, definitely. And with respect to the U.S., well, one of the initial main differences, but now it has changed in Spain also. I was used when I was undergrad, it was not easy to get an A. It was not that easy. In the U.S., overall, the grades were higher on average. Now in Barcelona, there is more tendency also to more higher grades than when I was undergrad. And in terms of methodology for teaching, well, there were courses that there was more discussion with the professor from what I was used to. But there were also some professors that were more unidirectional. So, and I don't know now how they are doing it in the US.
It seems like a lot of undergraduate professors really rely now on PowerPoints, and they just put up the PowerPoints and the students copy down the items. So it's kind of gone backwards in my point of view because of that kind of technology that's available.
Here, I mean, all the PowerPoints are available, so they don't need to copy them because they are there. And one aspect that has been, let's say, there are pros and cons of the online setting, but one aspect that is a pro is that then when you have to assess the students, since there are no mechanisms to know if they are cheating or not, you have to ask questions that are more creative and for them to implement and explore so that they cannot copy-paste from other sources because then you can easily see they are cheating. So this has been something that has pushed professors to not ask definitions, you know, or things that are just there. I was normally or lately trying to ask always and ask them to implement and to think and reflect. But for some others, it has been a change, no?
Mm.
But yes, I mean, sure, there are professors that are just kind of not reading the slides, but not bringing that much to what's already available. But I think that more and more we are tending to, and there are actually now platforms, I use one of these platforms, that connect businesses with universities. And I integrate challenges that businesses currently have to my classes and see how they can solve these problems and so on. I mean, these platforms are emerging, and then depends on how willing are you to change your methodology and your way of connecting to the students. You're going to make this extra effort to include them or not.
That's the
but
business.
There is a demand.
The business school model is case studies, so there's a lot of tradition in doing case studies. In the U.S., a lot of economics professors are men. What is that true also in Spain? And if so, what inspired you to be a woman doing this work and research?
When I was undergrad, yes, most of my professors were men. In the U.S., yes, most of them were men. There were a few women, though. And where I am now, so because, you know, I did economics, but I did business. So in the econ field, there is more men. In the business field, you can find more women.
Oh.
Yeah, econ is more numbers, it tends to be more male. In the business, it may be more even. Not fully woman, not more woman, but more even. And for me, initially, I was like, I didn't have any called to be a doctor or a nurse or a pharmacist or anything. And I didn't know exactly what to do. Honestly, I was like, I know that I'm organized. I like to work in a business, or I see myself capable of some leadership skills, managerial skills. I didn't know. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And little by little, I got more intrigued about economics, like more economic aspects about development, international relationships, and why, you know, Spain has these connections with South America, blah, blah, blah. This was because of my last year of college. I went to Santa Barbara, UCSB, and I got to travel to Central America, and I opened up some questions about international relationships. So then I did more econ. But then during the PhD, I was tired of seeing the power or the influence of governments and more the econ development, and I was like, and I got more into the inner aspects of life, and I was like, okay, let's go back to business and see how, because of the understanding of the ultimate source of changes at the individual level, no, and how do you perceive who you are and what you're here to do and all of this, I was like, let's see how change can be brought through businesses, but more by tapping to the individual aspect and the consciousness awareness and how this translates to learning and relationships and so on. So then I went more back to businesses, more from these intangible variables and understanding of life.
Also in the U.S., you got married and divorced, I think. So in terms of your interest in understanding yourself and how that is applied to relationships, personal or business, what did you learn from that marriage?
Okay, so the thing is that the different long-lasting relationships that I had, I can see a connection with the aspects that I was developing on myself and what the other was bringing to me. So in the stage of with Cording, my last long-lasting relationship, I was more into the stage of awakening or connecting more with the so-called spiritual dimension or aspect of myself, because the previous one, I was developing more the emotional aspect, and the previous one, the mental aspect. So I can see a connection on who was coming to my life and what I was discovering about myself. So with him was this aspect of that I'm not just this physical body, that there is a consciousness behind, and to how my what I do in the 3D or in at the university or with people, how this changes depends on how I perceive myself as Neus and what I'm created or think about Neus with my nature and nurture and all my past. Or when I'm more connected with, let's say, the essence or the consciousness, and more in the present moment and what comes, no? And at that time, I had my, I don't know if it was my first inner crisis, but an important inner crisis about who I am and what it's like, and he was able to understand. And he had gotten through similar processes through other means, and that. Yeah, what brought us together, this kind of mutual understanding, and my parents here, they come more from the Catholic background, and maybe they could understand something, but it's long distance, it was more complicated anyway. So with him, I found this companionship, and then I could feel also to some level that the connection of our hearts was quite easy or already there in a way. I don't know if you can call it past lives or who knows, but you know, with some people you connect and you can see an existing bond or they're bigger than with other people. So that was there. But interestingly, in a way, we started, blah, blah, and then the marriage aspect, it was more because I felt that the right thing for me was to stay in the U.S. So for the paperwork, for me to be able to get the green card, that was the easiest way. to marry and do the whole process. Otherwise, we would have been boyfriend and girlfriend, most likely, and continue. But even, it was for the paperwork, but we love each other and we still love each other. It's one of these special connections that I guess it's never going to end. But we both knew since more or less the beginning that it wouldn't be forever. And we knew. But because whenever he was feeling what he was here to do or his life path or a little bit what was his calling, he liked music and playing and free, you know, spirit kind of thing. And he saw himself like traveling around the world with his music, maybe his dad, like exploring, blah, blah. And I knew that this was not my call. And we were like, well, let's enjoy the ride until it lasts. Now we are good together and we want to keep sharing, so let's see what's going to happen. But and little by little, he was moving more in one direction and I was moving more towards another direction. And then there is a moment, or a very significant moment, when at the intimate level, it's like, no, it doesn't flow naturally no more. And you cannot force these things. And then you talk and you be like, okay. And even though that we still love each other very much, and now it's been a while or a long time that we don't communicate, and in a way, I still feel that it's so that he can do his thing without having, since I've been a very important person in his life and he's been a very important person in my life, so that he can fully do and not have me in the back of his head, you know? So I know that he may think about me or I may think about him every now and then, but it's good if we don't talk for a while, so that he can fully do and undo and find his way, and me too. And we know that whenever is the life, if we ever talk again, well, of course we are going to talk again, but I mean, this connection is there forever, and then no words are needed. You just, we call it the knowing eyes. Show me your knowing eyes. And then we just look at each other and no need to say anything else. It's there.
So how long were you together?
Okay, so we met January 2010. And maybe I started dating kind of thing because it was open, like no labels and this. After 4 to 5 months dating, let's say April, June 2010, it was January 2010, or maybe more at the end, mid 2010, dating, and we got married in June 2012, and then when we divorced, we got married in Missouri, where we met, in the Midwest, but then we moved to San Diego, California. So we decided to get divorced on August 2015, but in California they have this 6 month cooling period. So you go to the court and you say, we're going to get divorced, and they were like, okay, we have these documents here, you have 6 months, we are not going to process that for 6 months in case that you change your mind. They call it 6 month cooling period. In Spain, it's the opposite. You can have an upset moment, go to the court, I want a divorce, and they have a fixed, like, quick divorce. And it's like, okay, we are more emotional normally than American people, so why they have the cooling period in California and we don't have the cooling period in Spain? I don't know, but that's okay. So then it was official March 2016.
And then in
the U.S., because then I did it also in Spain. So in Spain it took longer to process. Until I didn't move to Spain, I didn't process it there.
When did you move back to Spain?
I went there that summer of 2016, but I was not sure if I was about to stay. I was like, okay, I still had many things in the storage unit, some things in a friend's place, and I was like, I was tight in money financially living in San Diego. And I was like, okay, mom, can I come for a few months and see what I'm gonna do with my life? And I went there and I thought, okay, 3 months, let's see until Christmas, what I feel, blah, blah, blah. And then I started getting job offers here at different universities, teaching, blah, blah, blah. And since I had the green card, I could be outside the US max for a year. Permanent residency means this. So then the following summer of 2017, when I went back to San Diego, I fell inside. I was like, okay, Neus, this is no longer your home base. And then I did the paperwork because I was still paying my taxes in the US, blah, blah. Then I cleaned up the storage unit, my friend's things, some things I donate, few things I took back. So for me internally, it was the summer of 2017, but I already moved there a year before.
Have you met anyone since then who you have that kind of heart spiritual connection with?
No.
No.
In that way, no.
Are you looking?
I wouldn't say looking. I would say that I know that eventually I'll meet someone, but in this at this time, since the first important partner was more like a good friend. Then I had the mental one, then the emotional, according the spiritual. And my sensation is that the next gentleman who's gonna come, it's gonna be more like kind of like a full pack. More like, you know, that I can connect at all levels more complete, or that's what, at least what my heart or my soul would like to experience. Because even though that with her thing we had this intimate or more spiritual connection, at the intimate level, intimacy, we didn't make love in a way that I know that it's possible. And I would like to experience this kind of intimacy, let's say more complete, like there is a fire and the passion and the physical body, but then also the gentle and other ways of intimacy. And my sense is that whoever is the next one will be able to have, let's say, from one side of the spectrum to the other side. And now, you know, I'm in the late 30s, so it's, I don't know, it's a kind of like a, well, it's a different stage of life.
Is your little biological clock ticking, or how do you feel about children?
Yeah, that's the funny part. I never had a sense or a call to be a mom compared to some of my girlfriends that they knew that they wanted a family and blah, blah. Was never in my equation. I went with whatever I felt right. And I just still do whatever feels right. However, it's true that I have two nephews now, my brother's sons, children, and I've been having the older one every Tuesday afternoon. Well, since he's out of kindergarten until and then we play, he comes here, we have dinner or shower, bath, blah, blah, blah. And by spending more time with him and putting myself in the role of not mom, but taking care of a child and so on. It was fun. And it awakened a little bit this aspect of me of like, well, that's fun. I can enjoy. And it helped me to be more present also, to be more like, stop, don't think about work, don't think about anything else. Just be here, enjoy how he gets amazed about anything, you know, and have fun with little things and so on. So, like, okay, that's cool. I could see myself in that role, but on the other side, there have been some days that I'm here on my own, chilling, da, 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 I mean, like, oh, that's precious, you know, like, I own a space, silence, because I like also a lot being by myself, blah, blah. So I have both sides. In one part of me is like, if it happens and whoever comes into my life, we feel it and hit into it, by myself, I wouldn't do it. Like getting insemination or finding, no. But if he calls, if it happens, I think that I will, now I'm, this aspect of me has opened more, but because before it was not in my equation.
One thing that seems useful to me in understanding your one's personality is taking personality inventories, like the Myers-Briggs, Kierzegaard-Bates, Enneagram. And I wonder if that's in your toolbox in terms of how people can understand each other so they can relate more effectively with others professionally and personally.
Well, these are tools that are there and can be useful. And yes, but more and more I'm finding, I'm feeling more like inviting people to try to relate and do more from the present moment. And when you are more in this present moment, more in your state of presence, more from, let's say, the observer consciousness, here, this filter, you don't give that much weight or importance to the possible thoughts that may come, more based on introvert, extrovert, or you try to not give that much attention to that and flow more from a blank slate or a state, or I don't know. So
they call that mindfulness. It's, you know, Jon Kabat-Zinn has done a lot of work on mindfulness. Meditation is a very useful tool. So that sounds like what you're talking about, mindfulness.
Yeah, and from, so there is Eckhart Tolle or Eckhart Tolle, I don't know how you pronounce his name here, that talks more about the power of mind now. And then from MIT and Harvard, from the business side, Peter Senge, but now he's retired, wrote a book of leadership. I know it was a bestseller, and his friend, his partner, Otto Sharma, also from MIT, gave the Institute of Presencing, and they've been doing more events in this line, or also a little bit connected with innovation and management. So some of my references or inspirations of people that I feel more connected are the gentleman, Eckhart Tolle, Peter Senge, Otto Sharma. And what I've been doing now in some courses related to coaching at work is like there is this model of the thought model, and that you understand that based on your thoughts, you feel some emotions, and from these emotions, you may choose one action or another, and then there are some consequences. And by understanding which kind of thoughts you are having, no, and here we can see some patterns based on personality types and so on, you can identify if these thoughts are, let's say, not false, or like your own opinions or judgments or biases, or if they are facts, no? And by distinguishing what's evidence and what's there and what's your story about what you're perceiving, then you can be like, okay, I'm out of track. Let's just focus on facts and not make my own story so that I can feel differently and I don't have to feel whatever was associated with my story and so on. So I explain a little bit this model so that they can see and start distinguishing biases, judgments versus facts. But then I also show them what I've been calling so far observation model, so that you can relate but not paying that much attention to the thoughts, whether they are stories or facts, and just try to be more present, more quiet from your thoughts, or not giving it that much attention, and see what comes more from this state. I think that both are important to reflect and explore and see beyond.
How do you spell the names of the MIT authors, the last names?
Okay, I'm going to put it in the chat. So one is Peter Senge, Otto Sharma. And they are friends, they work together, and they are into this subtle aspects of life, but they are bringing it to the business arena.
Okay. So it's Peter Senge, S-E-N-G-E, and Otto, S-C-H-A-R-M-E-R.
Okay,
good. So let's say that I do this kind of focused concentration as to what I'm thinking now. And what if I'm just thinking, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get COVID. I'm anxious about this. I worry about this. So what do you do when if someone has a pattern of negative, fearful, anxious thinking, say?
One first aspect depends if you want to implement more the thought model or the thinking process, reflective process, you will ask them, I will go more to the observation model and I will be like, okay, you may experience anxiety about something. Let's experience the anxiety and let's see what's the message, what's this emotion trying to tell you, and just see if there is anything beyond and where it brings you. Instead of, because normally when we experience more these, they call it negative emotions or lower emotions, we try to hide them or not experience them because we don't feel comfortable, and then they build up and blah, 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 and we continue the thought process because we feel more comfortable and we put it to other, out there to other people or whatever. So be like, okay, if there is a fear or a fear comes, not if something about the future or expectation that may not be accomplished or something, see what's the message, see what's happening, and go through any fear. Most likely it's not gonna disappear unless you experience it and you see that it's not as big as you expected or as as a problem as you consider it initially. So this will be my first approach, will be more from the observational approach and to connect more with how we feel and embrace it and see what's beyond. And then, if necessary, do the reflective process, the mental process of bringing to their awareness that all what's been happening is a creation of their mind, of their thoughts, and that you don't know what's going to happen in the future and the past. Okay, you can see some patterns, you can learn something from them, but still, you never know what's going to happen in the future. So all what we have is this present moment, and if we are fully in this present moment, actually there are no problems. We are fully here and feeling and so on. So to help them see more this difference, no, between how complete and fulfilled you are if you just connect with who you really are now, versus when we associate ourselves with the character or the stories of who we are and what's happening and from this sense of lacking, no, whether it's whatever we feel that we may be lacking from the personality. And then see, okay, there is no need to look it outside. Everything is here. So So go bring a game of bringing your attention every time more to your sensations and to your body, and then somehow, little by little, or depends on everybody, the inner loop opens somehow, a little bit, depends on the person and how it goes. But just by allowing them to chill, to take a deep breath and to relax for a moment and have this little state of like, hey, you're okay, we are here, it's fine, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Take this moment for you to listen to yourself, to relax, first through bodily sensations, and later if necessary do the mind talk and reflection. People normally, they are not used to that. They don't create this space for themselves. So we stay all the time here and projecting, and we are never enough physically or emotionally or mentally, whatever. And like it's all your own creation. If now you have this and you have these capabilities and this, that's all what you have. That's the best of you. It's you don't need anything else, no? Life is wise in this manner. So
that means,
I don't know,
if I'm creating my story, that means I can change it.
Sure.
Which is, seems to me, the point.
Yes, definitely you can change it, especially when we use more the mind tool to distinguish facts, what's happening, versus your own story. If you want to fantasize and create your own story about anything that you would like to make or you would like to create, and use the creative process and imagination and so on, that's wonderful. And you can project and have plans and so on. And you do it more from this center state, let's say, more from your essence. That's wonderful. But the thing is that when you create more from a center point and more, let's say, aligned, there are no big expectations. Or the expectations, you are already enjoying the present moment. Then if your future business or your future project actually materializes or not, it's not that a big deal, because your sense of fulfillment is more in the now, in the creation. And you know that life has many ways of thinking you around and finding other ways and be like, okay, well, if now the energy, the events are bringing me more here and that's what feels right for me, it's okay. This idea is not going to materialize now, who knows later, but now I go there. Because that's something that sometimes people see like, okay, the power of now, blah, blah, I cannot make plans. Sure, you can make plans, but knowing that they may come or they may not. And if you are enjoying the process, you are creative, you are doing things, this is going to be useful for something, who knows for what. But at least now you are creating this, you are enjoying the process, you are full, more connected, things that ideas come, you express them in one way or in another. Good. Who is going to come? How is this going to end up? You'll see. You are working with this energy. This is materializing. You are attracting similar frequencies or ways. But be open to adapt in the way that it's going to materialize, because that's the beauty of life. And enjoy the adaptation also. If you create more from this aspect, then there is no, how you say that? What Buddha say? Suffering. There is no suffering.
Because you're in the moment. Interesting. It is kind of a Buddhist concept that everything is transitory. Accept that and stay within. I think it's accurate to say that the divorce rate in the U.S. is much higher than in Spain. And what do you see that's different? Do people just stay in unhealthy marriages because it's expected or it's too expensive to separate? Or what do you think the reasons are that the divorce rate is lower in Spain?
Definitely for my parents and grandparents' generations, Catholicism. That's just how it is. It was not well seen, and what people are going to say, blah, 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 blah. My generation, I know a lot of people who are not in healthy marriages. Now, COVID has split some couples, some have come back together. They say that something has changed, I don't know. Some of my generation that have younger kids, maybe it's like, okay, because of the kids, blah, blah, it may be a false story, who knows. But initially for the kids, I don't know, from my generation, the people that I know, not that many are for economic reasons, but it wouldn't surprise me that people with lower incomes may do it because of not being able to actually have a different apartment. But it's true that there has been a substantial change from my parents' generations to my generations. Now there is more, there has been more divorces, definitely. But yeah, but still some people, and maybe some people because they don't know, they've never been alone, and they don't know how to have their own space or take care of themselves. I don't think that it's that much because of what people are going to say, maybe some fewer. And the religious aspect, I know more Catalonia, the Basque region, that they are not that strongly Catholic versus Andalusia or other regions that they don't go to church and they don't believe or feel it in the same way as my parents or grandparents, but there is a stronger influence than Catalonia or the Basque region. So I don't know there how they live it.
So based on your experiences, what kind of advice would you give to a young couple who's thinking about getting married and makes it, and they want to make it last forever? What advice would you give them?
If they want to make it last, to see the partner as yourself, as an aspect of you that is showing you who you are, and that by taking care of this aspect of you, you take care of yourself. And if you see it in a constructive way of like showing who you are through a different form and that it's you, so it's, then you nurture it, you take care of it, and you grow together. But I would be also open to know that the relationship is gonna have different phases or stages. I mean, some you may be more closer, in some you may need more space, because at least I see that in myself, there are having stages that I need to develop or to connect with some aspects of myself that require more a closer contact with a partner, and some other stages that what I needed to explore of myself required me to connect with other people, not that much my partner. So to have this understanding of that it doesn't mean that you love each other less if for some time you devote more time to other activities or relationships. Be open to that.
Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you think should be said?
Well, to be open, if you feel so, or if you have a little bit of curiosity to explore intimacy beyond the physical body, to go for it and to be curious and create these spaces, because it can be very beautiful. to you and to the relationship and the level of connection. That what they show us in movies or in porn is not all what it is in terms of intimacy.
Right. I think that's a really pernicious influence, the Hollywood movies, that you fall in love and you're ecstatic and you live happily ever after. It doesn't show people how to work through conflicts or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.